in the southern sky. Southward as you go.
Such a perfect song for our next guest. She is, she's a hippie. Gail Scott is our good friend. She is our Enneagram guru, and she joins us from Colorado. The Enneagram played a huge part in the restoration of my marriage to Bev, who's sitting beside me right now. Only after learning about ourselves and then each other from the perspective of the Enneagram were we actually able to do two things. Number one, practice compassionate, non-judgmental self-awareness. Write that one down. And number two, not take unmet needs in our marriage so personally. So to help explain the Enneagram and clarify the practical benefit within a marriage, it is my friend and world-recognized Enneagram guru, Gail Scott. Hello, darling.
Hi, Drew. Hi, Bev.
Hey, Gail.
Thank you for joining us one final time on the show. Sorry about the lack of time in our show to kind of delve into all of this. But, you know, when we say to our friends, oh, the Enneagram really helped our marriage, sometimes it's hard for us to actually put words on what that means other than, oh, we discovered more about ourselves and each other, and then what? Like, so can you put, like, you're way better at putting words on this stuff. Can you make it work, please?
Well, you mean explain what happens?
Yes.
Well, I would say the most important thing is that you develop a kind of empathy that is really impossible before you understand the other person's worldview. When you learn about the Enneagram, and you in particular learn about your partner's or family members, anyone else's, you know, type, yeah, what you understand about them is so deep and so profound and has everything to do with how they're wired, how they come into the world, how they see the world, how they respond to things, what their go-to defense mechanisms are, their coping strategies, how the ego functions, what the triggers are. I mean, you just learn an enormous amount about the other person, and not just as a set of traits or defenses, but you really understand what's behind the person acting or reacting or responding to you or to the world in certain ways. And there are very good reasons for why people push our buttons and drive us crazy. Hmm. And when you understand that about the other person, I would say your compassion opens up, certainly your empathy opens up, and it's as though you're able to see into the motivation and just like the blueprint of that person, and understand so much more about how and why they react to you, and where you are, you know, not compatible or not, or you're hitting each other's buttons, or you're saying the wrong thing, or you're being misunderstood. A lot of it is about being misunderstood. We all feel like we're misunderstood. I would say, in your case, fours definitely feel like they're misunderstood. I mean,
so hold on, four being my personality type.
Yes, four being Drew's personality type, the tragic romantic, the individualist. It feels like no one quite gets me. No one understands how unique and special and different and individual I am, and how deeply I feel things. And four is also, interestingly, one of the types that really wants to express feelings. It's all about putting your feelings on the table. Now, Bev is a nine, as we know, the peacemaker, another withdrawn type. But the peacemaker is all about, let's just not rock the boat. Let's just keep everything the way it is. So you run into a lot of sort of built-in difficulties where the four just wants everything out on the table, wants to express emotions, wants to be, you know, real about things, just loves heightening the emotionality, loves that, intensity of feelings and emotions and spilling it all out. And at the same time, the nine, just being a different programming, that's terrifying to the nine, because it can feel violent. It can feel threatening. What I want as a nine is I really want to somehow, you know, just maintain a kind of an even keel, a sweet, you know, peacefulness. And so I take a back seat. I become passive. I certainly don't want to assert myself. And I know that was one of the issues for you, that it was very difficult for Bev to assert herself, because because it just is, because it feels like being aggressive, and that is something that nines don't want to be. Mm. So just having a different orientation, this is just one of many things, but just having a different orientation toward getting things out on the table, when you understand that, because we all think we're right, we're at the center of things, the way we do things, the way we talk to our partners is how it should all be. So one person is thinking we should get it all out there, and they're upset and frustrated that they're not being met that way. The other person is like being scared to death by this, and they're just like running for cover. So it's not until you understand deeply what creates those differences in temperament that you can start, you know, managing your own reactivity and sort of compromising and giving the other person more space to be who they are.
Yeah, okay, first of all, well done, as usual, Gail. That's why you're on the show. But I would summarize things like, I would say, because of Bev's personality type, what I understand about it now, I now know that when I asked her how she felt about something and she said, I don't know, she actually didn't know.
That's right. She wasn't
saying, I don't know, because she didn't care or didn't want to talk with me, although I'm sure there were many times where that was the case.
Maybe.
But it really had to do with the fact, like, her processor just is a different processor. You just process things differently, and you legit didn't know.
That's absolutely right. And I always tell people who are, you know, in relationship with nines, it's like, don't put them on the spot. Don't ask them some difficult emotional question and expect or demand an immediate answer. No, let them go away and say, you know, here's what I'm concerned about. Here's what I'm curious about. I'd love to know how you feel about it. You know, go away and think about it, and let's make a time to get back together, and we'll process it then. Because when you put a nine on the spot, they just go up, like they just can't do it. It's too stressful. They like to have time to think about things, bring in the past, sort of roll it over, mull it over, and then they'll come in their own good time. They'll come up with a truthful, honest answer. But if you put them on the spot and, you know, force have, again, a different way of processing, they can be spontaneous about how they're feeling in the moment, you know, forever. And so we tend to project onto other people and think that they have the same proclivities, the same talents, the same preferences as we do. And that's the beauty of the Enneagram, is finding out, no, actually we live on nine different planets, and, you know, the rules and structure of your planet are different than mine. And once I know what those are, I can accommodate them and understand them and make room for them.
Yeah, I think that was the biggest breakthrough for Drew, to be able to understand I wasn't ignoring him or, you know, shutting him down. I think him learning about me was such a huge revelation that it was one of the biggest things that allowed him to think, oh, maybe this can work in the future. Now I know about me. Now I know about my wife, and I understand things so much more clearly.
Mm-hmm. Right. And Bev, I heard you say that you had taken a back seat to Drew, who had to be the funny man all the time. And taking a back seat to the partner is absolutely central to the, you know, fixated personality of the nine. So I'm wondering if this the time of your separation and everything that's gone into, you know, coming back together and reconciling and spending time together in a different way, if that has changed? Have you been able to establish more of your own autonomy? Do you feel like you don't take a back seat anymore? Are you happy to sit in front, either driving or navigating? Has that important part of the nine temperament, has that changed for you?
Good question.
Well, you see, I've always had the front seat in what I do for a living.
Right.
So I've always had that in my vocation. So it was easy to take the back seat in our relationship. Mm-hmm. Especially not to rock the boat, of course. It's much more peaceful not to speak up about things and get into arguments about things.
Well, especially when you're living with an immature, dramatic child.
And sometimes it's just not worth the energy it would take to address issues.
Right.
So that was kind of the thing that I needed to change across the board. When something came up, whether it was in the relationship with my son or daughter or Drew or all my relationships across the board, I had made a mental decision, you know, when I turned 50 and started looking at my life, that I was going to start speaking.
Grow a pair.
Yeah, grow a pair, basically.
Uh-huh. Right.
And has that worked for you?
Oh, I think it's worked well. I think communicating, because it's not coming out of a place of anger. It's just coming, learning, and I have to tell myself all the time, I'll think things inside my inside voice, and I'm not saying them outside. So Drew will say, well, why didn't you tell me that's how you felt? I went, oh, I guess I didn't say that out loud.
Right. And generally, it's because there is some degree of risk or danger to speaking my peace of mind, speaking my mind, because it might upset the peace. And this is something that gets installed in the type 9 personality at a very, very early age. All of our personalities do, of course. The defense mechanisms do. But there's a sense that, you know, most 9s will tell you that perhaps the home front or the family of origin, you know, wasn't all that peaceful. But the 9 steps in quite early often and is the one, you know, the child, the sibling, to try to keep the peace in the family. And that becomes just the most important thing. And so being in a relationship with someone who is, you know, just more emotional, more volatile, more, you
easy.
Know, all those things.
Needy.
What did you say? Yeah. Can be very threatening. And there's a lot of undoing of the sort of the patterned ways of responding in the world that we have to do. And particularly for the 9, there's, you know, what's needed is to just because there's that sort of unwillingness to put myself in the world, to take charge of myself, to energetically engage in life, even though I might be running around accomplishing things, but I can still be disengaged, you know, just going through the motions without actually being, you know, connected. So the big change, and it's often a very fast and dramatic change toward health and well-being and self-development for the 9s, is when they take over their lives, when they actually show up in their lives, when they can still feel that wholeness, that connection, that peace, but be actively engaged and in charge of my own life.
I got to say that when, maybe this is the same for all types, but when Bev, as a Enneagram 9 personality type peacemaker, what's the other phrase or quick descriptors you use for a 9?
Oh, they're pleasant, self-effacing, receptive, reassuring.
Yeah, all nice stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So when Bev is a 9, all of a sudden turns into a bit of a 4 and becomes authentic and vulnerable, and it's all about authenticity and sharing and open, and the cards are out on the table.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, when she does stuff that I like and is more like me, I love it.
Well, she's actually not being more like me. She's being more like a healthy 9.
Oh.
See, it's all about him.
Man.
That 4.
And, of course, you know, at the same time, we hope that, you know, you're becoming a healthier 4. And I would like to ask Bev what she has seen as the biggest difference in Drew in terms of his personality.
Well, we've run out of time on the Drew Marshall Show.
No, I think he's just more healthier in his own skin. I think he, through the Enneagram and all the things that he has done in the past year and a half, he has a real good understanding of who he is and why he is, and that's translated into a much healthier him, a happier him, and he's seeing the world through different lenses.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm actually, you know, it's so interesting. When you like yourself, you then like the person you're with a lot more. And when you don't like yourself, you don't like the person. Like, it's easy math. It's 1 + 1 = duh.
Because right. The other person reflects back what you're doing right or wrong.
Yeah, I don't know.
And that was that was an interesting response, Bev, because the basic desire of the type 4, the individualist, the sensitive, introspective type, the basic desire, what they really want is to find their true self, their personal significance, to find out, you know, who am I? Who am I? What's my significance? Why am I here? What am I doing? What does it mean? And so I heard you say that you feel like he knows who he is now. So,
definitely.
You know, just that alone, it sounds like you're both really, you know, biting down on what has needed to change. And so I want to ask you, Drew, how do you, or in what ways do you feel that you know now, or, as Bev said, are more comfortable in your skin? How is it that you feel like you have perhaps come closer to understanding your true self and who I am, who you are?
I don't know.
No, that's my answer.
All right, yeah. I think it really comes down to that thing I said earlier about you know, I've finally come to a place where I'm able to practice this compassionate, non-judgmental self-awareness. You know, the Kripalu Yoga people talk about that thing all the time. And I was like, what the heck are you talking about? What kind of incense you've been breathing in there, kid? And uh-huh. But I, you know, to be compassionate and non-judgmental about my own self-awareness is a huge step for me, because I can be self-aware till the cows come home, but then I take a stick out and beat myself.
Mm-hmm. That's right. So, and that works with each other as well. So
yeah.
Passionate, non-judgmental self-awareness, absolutely important. If we don't have that, if we're not practicing that, we actually cannot do that for someone else. We can't be compassionate and non-judgmental.
Exactly, yeah. And just, you know, I don't have to take whatever unmet needs I have in my marriage to Bev so stinking personally anymore. Mm-hmm. So basically, I'm not as big of a suck as I used to be.
Uh-huh, isn't that great?
I think so.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure I want you two to ever talk again. Yeah. Well, I Gail, just because of time here, I just need to wrap it up by saying this. You know, you have been so instrumental in me pulling my head out of an orifice that it's comfortable staying in. Thank you. You and the way you have opened up the wisdom of the Enneagram, to use the title of a book I have in front of me by your good friends, Don Richard Riso and Russ Hudson,
mm-hmm.
The Complete Guide to Psychological and Spiritual Growth for the 9 Personality Types. Dude, this thing has absolutely changed my world, and I'm very thankful. You're my Obi-Wan throughout all of this.
Well, thank you. That's a very nice place to be. I'll take that.
And then, you know, Bev, I know Bev feels...
I'm grateful for sure.
Yeah, we're both really, actually, legitimately interested and intrigued and appreciative of the wisdom of the Enneagram.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So
I tell you, I've never found anything more powerful for understanding self, understanding other, making real change, really developing, waking up to ourselves, understanding who we are, you know, just know thyself. I think the Enneagram is just the most powerful tool I've ever come across for that.
Yeah, yeah. I want people to follow you, to buy your stuff, to go to your seminars, to plug into your work. You are a fantastic communicator. I remember listening to an online conference where a bunch of people were talking about smart psychological stuff and Enneagram stuff and whatever else, and they all really sucked compared to you. I'm serious. You're a fantastic communicator. How do people get a hold of you or follow you or whatever?
So actually right now, because my website's under construction, the best way to do it is just to connect with me through email, which is just, either gailscott@comcast.net, and that's gailescott@comcast.net, or gail@enneagrammysteryschool.com.
Beautiful.
So, enneagrammysteryschool.com.
Yeah. Gail, thank you for the impact you have had on our marriage and our lives. Thank you.
Thanks. And I'm so happy for both of you. This has just been a wonderful journey, and the fact that it's having such a sweet and happy ending at this point is very gratifying. So good luck to both of you.
Thank you, Gail.
Thanks,
you take care. Have a good weekend.
Okay, you too.
Bye, Gail.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm glad we finished the show there with Gail Scott. And thanks for coming back, Bevy.
You're welcome.
Can we go out and have some dinner? Can you pay? Because I don't have a job soon. So
yeah, we'll see.
Thanks, Sugar Mama.